You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'm once again joined by my esteemed deputy editor, Mr. John Dixon. John, are you still football hungover like myself?
Oh, man.
This is a two-day football hangover, isn't it?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? What a game on Sunday. I was having heart palpitations. I don't know about anybody else.
I'm too old for this. You're too old for that. Maybe we'll have you sit out Chiefs and Bengals. You can go to the park or something. That way you don't have to worry about anything.
Feed the pigeons.
I'll be honest with you. I've gotten to a point now where, okay, reasonably, covering football has become regular. Going to Arrowhead, and even for a playoff game that isn't an AFC title. So I'm sitting in the press box, and this is as nervous as I really don't get nervous ever. Like when I'm watching these games, I'm always just trying to like take notes and stuff, but I was sitting there and I was on the edge of my seat in this press box. Mm-hmm. And it was the greatest game that I have ever seen in my 8 years covering the Chiefs. I went to the Super Bowl too. And I mean, that, I guess you have to put as number one because there's a championship on the line and the Chiefs were down 10 points and what a comeback that was. But my God, I just think being this on the brink of losing when the Chiefs were down in the Super Bowl, there was 6-7 minutes left. This was 13 seconds. I was done. I mean, I thought we were done. I thought Steve and I would be getting together today, maybe to talk about the offseason podcast schedule. Mm-hmm. And maybe Patrick Mahomes knew he didn't want to hear any offseason podcasts yet and probably just said, okay, I'm going to turn intrinsically and get this done. But man, what a set of circumstances. And to go to Tyreek Hill and to Travis Kelce and the Kelce play, and we're going to get into our marinated takeaways, but just the pure emotion of the game and Arrowhead. And I think about the joy for Chiefs fans, and I do feel a little bit for Bills fans because I think there is a distant respect between Chiefs fans and Bills fans, and that is a rip your heart out loss that you'll never forget. And the Chiefs have been there before in the history of their franchise, and you wonder if the Bills eventually get their turn. But my God, what a game! What a game!
Yeah, I was meaning to ask you how many times the press box PA had to remind those in the press box that it was a working press box on Sunday night.
I think all the rules were thrown out the window. This was because you also have Chiefs personnel in there for the PR departments, and same thing with the Bills, and they're invested too. And I don't think you could blame Bills fans and their supporters and their PR staff from thinking they had won that game and we're going to host the AFC title in Buffalo.
And
that franchise is a tortured one too, because of Tom Brady and the Patriots and everything that went into that. And they've been waiting to host that type of game in Buffalo for a long time with the jumping into the tables and stuff like that. And look, this is just going to go into the Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen book. That is their rivalry. And this is just the second chapter of it. And this is a tough one. And, you know, when you think about Patrick Mahomes and how expensive he is now, the Bills were still in a window where Josh Allen wasn't all that expensive, and now he gets more expensive. So you just wonder about that window too. What a game. I mean, I can't get over it. It's rare we even start the podcast just talking about the game, but it'll be something I remember forever. And I know that's the case for a lot of Chiefs fans. Okay. We have some reviews to read, and then we will get into this podcast. I think we read this one the last time, Chiefs of the Rockies, we did. So here's the next one. 5-star review from Sites 8125. I live in Iowa. The pod network allows me to listen in and get some deeper information on all things Chiefs. It helps me prep for the game as a fan and makes me eager to watch some football. Appreciate all the hard work. Thank you very much. That was a good one.
Nice.
All right, another one. 5 stars. You have a great lineup. I love the British Chiefs, and they are hilarious. as they struggle to speak understandable English while nattering on about auto racing and the soccer team from Lower Dingleberry. The editor's show is fantastic. The podium show would be better if the questions were audible. Show and BK is top notch, but they need to mute that Beavis and Butthead snickering prevalent in the background. Overall, good job, and I listen every day. Quick note about the from the podium. We don't control the mics on the question askers, the reporters. Yeah. So when they're in person, they're going to be lower. What's good actually about Zoom, and right. I don't love the press conferences on Zoom, but you do hear all the reporter questions. Right. And then we got another five-star review. This is the most interesting one of the week. This is from Wesley Bernius. I've been a Chiefs fan all my life down here in Texas, and I've listened to this podcast for about 4 years now. I love the editor show and from the podium, but I have a serious problem with the show BK and Serta. The show. When it comes to predicting the score for the upcoming game, why in the world would you pick the other team in a playoff game? You work for the Chiefs. You're Chiefs writers and supposed to be Chiefs fans. I promise you nobody, and I mean nobody on the Buffalo side, is predicting the Chiefs to win. So when Serta thinks he says Buffalo will win, then go work for them. I think a lot will agree with me in that we don't want to listen to that. You don't work for ESPN or Fox. I don't care. You'd be right. You should care more about your team winning rather than being right. It's ridiculous. Get this dude off the show. So I asked you, are you not a Chiefs fan or not? Thankfully, he still left 5 stars. That sounded like a 2-star review, and we appreciate you still leaving the 5 stars. I don't think it was Serta predicting the Bills. I think it was BK, and I think that here on this podcast network, we promote, let's be as honest as we can, and I think right. There was reason to believe the Bills were trending up and had a chance in this game, and so we respect everyone's predictions. We do it so that you guys can get an honest take and an honest few takes about how we're feeling about the games, and it's okay. If you want to predict the other team, you can. I haven't predicted the other team in quite a long time, and I remember doing it quite a bit in the Alex days. I just don't bet against his quarterback. I was prepared to. I was going to bet on Aaron Rodgers, which might have been a mistake, as it turns out, going into that game, but then he ended up on the COVID list, and it changed the whole complexion of the game. So we'll see. We'll see if I end up picking the other team. I know I won't do it for the rest of the year now. I just think the Chiefs are a better team than the rest of the teams left.
Right. Oh, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think it'd be very difficult to pick against the Chiefs in the rest of the postseason. I think I've picked against the Chiefs once this year.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. I did it in the wrong place.
We know about your Browns transgression.
Yeah, not as bad as that Browns prediction in my first year. Right, right. No. Not as bad as that. I'll never live that down. But I also think we should point out, we don't work for the Chiefs. Okay,
yeah, that's another good thing to point out.
Right now, we do not work for the Chiefs. Did I mention we don't work for the Chiefs?
Hey, been there, done that, you know. Green of pastures. All right.
Yeah.
If you want to leave a review, we'll read it here.
Oh, yeah.
As we always say. But let's get into this news. We have the news. We'll go through Andy Reid quick. We have our marinated takeaways. Best Chiefs thing. First thing to talk about here, John, is a transaction, an interesting one. Yeah. Alan Saunders in from the injured reserve list and Josh Gordon out with an intention of signing him to the practice squad. To me, you know, you have Defoe, Darius Fountain, that's been in the mix and he provides some special teams value, but this is just a value thing. Josh Gordon had his opportunities. I believe he started 7 games for the Chiefs, couldn't get it done. And so I think the Chiefs see more value in potential defensive line depth. I don't think this means Colin Saunders is suddenly back in the rotation necessarily, but in the case, he'll be available for the Chiefs, and we've seen injuries happen in the playoffs before.
Right. And yes, I don't think it necessarily closes the door on Josh Gordon. You know, obviously they want to get him back on the practice squad, have him as an option, because they have unlimited opportunities to elevate practice squad players. Well, right. Which is to say they can only do 2 per game, but there's no limit on how many times a particular player can be elevated in the postseason. So he'll still be available to them, providing that he clears waivers, and I think he will. So I think he'll be available to the team, and then they'll reevaluate at the end of the season. Maybe he'll get a reserve futures contract for next year, and we'll continue this this watch of what happens with Josh Gordon.
I don't know if it's going to happen for him here. I think sometimes once Andy Reid has kind of moved on from you, that he's moved on from you. Now we'll see. I mean, there's been guys that have struggled this year and have really, I think, come out on the other side, like a Mecole Hardman, for example, who we got to hear a little bit from yesterday. If you want to hear him, it's available on From the Podium. We're just going to go through Reid, but you have Harrison Butker also talking as well as Hardman on Monday. It's AFC title week, so they're providing some players as well. So Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I think Gordon had his opportunities and he had a lot of drops. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and eventually I think the Chiefs got to the bye week and said, we need to be playing Byron Pringle a bit more. And he's had his drops too, but he's also had his big time catches mm-hmm. as well, including the touchdown. So I think three playoff touchdowns, right, for Pringle? Am I counting that correctly? I believe.
Yeah, that might be right. Yeah, I haven't.
At least two. So yeah. A credit to Byron Pringle and him really, I think, being able to emerge after the bye week.
Absolutely.
Another piece of news here. Chiefs didn't have Rashad Fenton for the second week in a row. Back issue. Tyrann Mathieu, the Chiefs lost, I believe it was after seven plays. We're about to get into snap counts here, but 610 Sports, Bob Fesco is reporting that the Chiefs are optimistic on these two, and it seems small, but I can't tell you how important this is. I don't think this game is an NFL classic last Sunday if Tyrann Mathieu is playing, because I don't think the Bills would have been scoring into the mid-30s and the 40s. I think it was the perfect storm for the rest of the NFL to get this. I think the secondary was a bit of a mess. Gabriel Davis has no business going off for 200 yards and the four touchdowns, and I just don't think it's happening with Tyrann Mathieu directing traffic. So that is absolutely critical when you're facing a team in which a wide receiver in Ja'Marr Chase went off for 266 yards against you the last time, and that was with Mathieu. So you need him to be playing. And Rashad Fenton is completely, to me, John, underrated in the sense of he comes into the game when L'Jarius Sneed slides over and you feel good about that outside cornerback and you can continue to use Mathieu in different ways. I had seen at the beginning of this game before Mathieu got the unfortunate concussion that the Chiefs were working him a little bit more in the slot, and then it became an absolute mess. And I know that with everything that happened and how great this game was, it gets a little bit lost that if Mathieu was playing, the Chiefs might win this game by at least 10 points. I never know, completely hypothetical, but I just think he's that important.
Well, there are a lot of people who think that Mathieu is not that important because he doesn't show a lot of stats. He doesn't show up in the box score. But all of the defensive players, you know, even guys in different position groups, go on and on about how important he is as a leader, as somebody who's out there, you know, directing traffic, as you put it. It makes and his ability to be used almost anywhere in the field, I think, is something that is really underrated. You know, that's one of the problems with a defensive back. Sometimes a defensive back has no stats because they don't throw to him. You know, you don't have any, you don't get any stats in the box score if nobody puts the ball towards you as a defensive back. So I'm not sure that the lack of stats with Mathieu really tells us anything. I'm more interested in what the players have to say about it, and they say he's a critical part of the defense. So I agree with you. I think it's entirely possible. We'll never know, of course. But
yeah, and here's
a game to be different.
Here's an example with the team still left, and again, another hypothetical here. Jalen Ramsey of the Rams. Now, he'll have a game, and you'll be like, well, where are all the passes defensed? Where are the interceptions? Yeah, but the top receiver for the other team had 20 yards. That's the type of impact that Mathieu had.
Right.
It's looking at the other side, and I have a hard time believing Gabe freaking Davis has 201 yards if Mathieu's on the field. And he was the best receiver for the Bills, and again, the recipient of four touchdowns. He's not having four touchdowns if Mathieu's on the field. I'm sorry. So I just think it's a huge impact, and you need to try to be as full strength as possible. Anyway, we'll see. First injury report comes Wednesday afternoon. We always have the injury report for you at arrowheadpride.com. It's one of those Pete and John Dixon tandem things. John's in... You're like taking care of the car inside. I don't know what you're doing with that Excel sheet, but it spits out a beautiful table for us of the injury statuses. So we appreciate that as well. The Chiefs, they get this Sunday afternoon game. You know how I feel about this if you've listened to the editor show. Thank God. I'm so sick of doing these night games. So we're very excited about the 2 p.m. start. The Chiefs have opened as 7-point favorites. To me, an initial opening, it seems a little high against the Bengals. I don't know how you feel about this, John, but I came across being like, wow, a touchdown? I don't know. I feel like I definitely think the Chiefs should be favored, but it feels more like 4.5 to me. But maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm just a little bit too invested into what happened in the last game.
Yeah, maybe. I see your point, but I don't think 7 points is that unreasonable. I think that the last game, there was a lot of stuff that added up to the result that might not happen again. You know, the officiating, I'm not going to say the officiating was slanted towards the Bengals. I think it just played out that way. And that happens sometimes. The Chiefs made a couple of bad mistakes. That that defensive call on 3rd and 27 obviously was a terrible mistake they'd like to have back. Those things all add up to the loss. And I don't see that those things necessarily will be the case when these two teams play. I'd also like to mention that we're dealing kind of with the same situation with the Bengals that we did with the Bills. This is another long-suffering Midwestern fan base that you'd really like to see be rewarded with a win, but not at our expense. Let's be clear on that.
I'm with you.
But should the Chiefs lose this game, I'll be rooting for them.
Yeah, the Bengals really give me the sense that they're playing at this level a year early. I think they were predicting maybe this to be more of a 2022 thing, like let's make the playoffs and
yeah, I can see that.
Hey, you're only a year early until you're not, and they have a grand opportunity here to go in and get to a Super Bowl. And I don't think it's going to happen. I think this game will be different at Arrowhead Stadium. You mentioned the point about the referees. Not that, you know, you don't have 60 minutes to go and win a game, but it tends to typically be better at home. I'm sure their Chiefs fans would be like, well, yeah, but what about the Titans game?
Yeah.
Hey, I completely agree with you. It's not a hard and fast rule, but typically speaking, you tend to get the calls at home a little bit more. And so we will see if that goes down the way that Chiefs fans want on Sunday. What is interesting about those odds is typically – you'll have the odds released and then they change quickly. They were released on Sunday after this Chiefs win and they haven't shifted yet. It's still minus a touchdown in favor of the Chiefs. So that's a good sign that the betting public really thinks the line is right. I'm just surprised by it, but hey, who am I? I'm a guy who loses money typically when I bet. So, all right. By the way, weird turn events. I've made picks every round of the playoffs. I've been winless on Saturdays and I have not lost any other day. I won the Monday night game. I've been perfect in my Sunday predictions, but my Saturday I've gone 0-4 now. Weird circumstances. So I've broken even every round of the playoffs here. Good for me. And I just got to say this, and I know this podcast isn't, but good for me for coming back every Sunday and winning my money back. I mean, it could have been the other way where you just keep on losing, but come on, I'm making the right picks on Sunday. The Chiefs remain favorites for the Super Bowl. This again is not in writing, right? You still have to play these games, but I just think right now, John, and I don't know how you feel even about these NFC teams, but I just think the Chiefs are better than every team left, and that's clear in the odds, and that's got to be a really good feeling right now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I just don't see teams that really scare me the rest of the way. You know, we can argue about whether the point spread is correct in this AFC championship. But, you know, in the 49ers and the Rams, I see a couple of teams that the Chiefs could beat.
Yeah.
I'm not going, oh my gosh, we can't do that. So
Mahomes and Burrow is a little closer, right? You feel that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're talking about, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but you're talking about Mahomes versus Stafford. We've already seen Mahomes versus Jimmy G and that overthrow and everything that went into that. So, man, how wild would it be if the Chiefs were able to take care of business and then somehow the 49ers pull off another upset and it's Mahomes versus Jimmy G2 for a championship? What are the chances of that? It's so weird. It reminds me of the Patriots, like randomly getting the Giants the two times and they ended up losing. I know the Chiefs got the one, but it's just a random team to sort of have in the mix. I don't think anyone really thought this Cinderella version of the 49ers was going to do it, but you saw in Kansas City what can happen when you have a quarterback waiting in the wings and the motivation that goes into that. Jimmy G is not playing the perfect football, but he's playing well enough to win in the playoffs and go beat Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. So to me, hey, that's good enough. I'm sure 49ers fans are ecstatic right now.
Well, those were bizarre games in the NFC last weekend. Just
what? Yeah. Weird. Just weird games. I thought that Tom Brady was going to pull that out. It might've been his last game we were getting way off topic. So let's get back into. We were supposed to be on topic today and be a little quicker. And here we are, just talking
about that, didn't you?
Tom Brady. Yeah, we're going to talk about Tom Brady's family and how that's impacting. What are we doing? All right, let's get into snap counts from Chiefs and Bills. John, you have been diving into this. What have you learned so far?
Yeah, a couple of interesting things in this game. And I'll put it the way the article's going to put it when it's released a little later today. Yeah. Would you have predicted that after what happened with Willie Gay Jr. in this past week, that he would be the linebacker who had the most snaps in this game? I wouldn't have, but that's what happened. Willie Gay Jr. had the largest percentage of snaps among the linebackers, followed by Nick Bolton and then Anthony Hitchens. I wouldn't have predicted that. I know a lot of fans will be all about that. They would rather see these young guys get that work. Daniel Sorensen, of course, had to play a lot more snaps after Tyrann Mathieu left the game. But interestingly, he didn't play as a safety very much compared to his normal use in that kind of a situation coming in as a backup. He played, according to PFF, 21 snaps as a slot cornerback, and I think it was four snaps as on the outside, and just 12 snaps as a free safety.
That was the plan for Mathieu.
Right, exactly. He basically did take over Matthew's role, and in those third safety situations, Armani Watts was in there. He had, I think, about a dozen snaps, and almost all of them were as a free safety. So that was kind of interesting. The other thing was the running backs that really struck me. You get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back as a starter. He did well enough in a game. You might have thought that he had more snaps, but that's not what they did. The starter comes back, and the Chiefs relied more on Jerick McKinnon, the hot hand, than they did on Edwards-Helaire. Now, of course, Edwards-Helaire made the most of those opportunities. It's not like he just had 20% of the snaps or something. He didn't get as many as McKinnon in this game.
Clyde was running angry, and I thought it was impressive. It put a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. I think you could clearly tell that. But good for the Chiefs for sticking with McKinnon. I think sometimes they lean a little too heavily on what is the original starter or, in some cases, a veteran. I know that McKinnon has played longer than Clyde, obviously. I could kind of tell that they were going to do this. I had my Andy Reid radar going because he doesn't reveal anything. But I had a feeling in the way he was speaking about this that they were going to lean into McKinnon, and you have to. I mean, he clearly looks like the best running back right now, even though Clyde had a pretty good game. What will be interesting is if the Chiefs get Darrell back now. I don't know how he fits.
Right.
Sometimes, and you've seen this in the offensive line, and Stefan Wisniewski comes to mind. I think you just have to continue to go with what worked the last game in the postseason. I think Andy Reid knows that, and so Darrell may be that third back, but who am I? Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see how this plays out when the Chiefs get the Bengals on Sunday. But some interesting snap count takeaways. You can dive into that article coming up at arrowheadpride.com later on Tuesday. All right, so we've gone through the news and the snap counts. When we come back, we'll take on Andy Reid's Monday afternoon press conference. You're listening to the Arrowhead Pride Editor's Show.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Back here on the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show, Pete Sweeney, John Dixon, coming off one of the greatest games in NFL history, the Chiefs 42-36 overtime win over the Buffalo Bills. They advanced to their fourth straight AFC title at home at Arrowhead Stadium. That has never been done in NFL history. I'm sure that you fans out there have been diving into this game. And the first interesting thing that came out of the press conference was just the aspect of the coin toss in overtime. And how 4 years ago, when that streak started, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots got the ball first, and they went and scored a touchdown. And then Josh Allen goes up there and he calls tails, and tails failed. And the Chiefs got the ball first, and they went and scored the touchdown. Andy Reid asked about wanting to change those rules after the 2018 season. Here's Andy.
I don't know, but I'm glad we didn't change as of last night. But I had a chance to talk with Sean afterwards, and you know, that's, I'm sure, something that they're going to look at again too. And I wouldn't be opposed to it. I just, that's a hard thing. I mean, one team, it was great for us last night, but is it great for the game, which is the most important thing that we should all be looking out for. So, it probably, to make things equal, it probably needs to be able to hit both offenses, both defenses. So.
So you hear that he was glad that they hadn't gotten that proposal through, John. I think I feel two ways about this, and I think it's okay to feel both ways. I've felt for a while that both teams needed to touch the ball in overtime. Now, going into this game what the rules are. So if the Buffalo Bills could, let's say, travel in some time continuum and take a 3-point lead kicking off with 13 seconds left, I think they take that every single time. So granted, yeah, you get to a coin toss and you let that happen. You let that happen with a grand opportunity to go host an AFC title game. Now, I also think that the rules need to be changed in the sense that both teams should be touching the football. It gets a little weird because say the first team scores a touchdown and then you give it to the other team, and then now they have the opportunity to go for two and you don't see the ball. So it's a hard problem to really fix. I think it's a harder problem to fix than maybe we even realize. Maybe the best solution is a full overtime quarter, but the rules are the rules, and the Bills knew them, in my opinion, and the Chiefs ended up taking advantage of that.
Well, you're taking away one of my marinated takeaways, but that's okay. We'll go ahead and talk about this now since the coach addressed it. What do you think the percentage of – how often do you think the team that wins the coin toss wins the game? What's that percentage in your mind?
It's got to be like 75%.
It's 52%.
Well.
And the team that does not win the coin toss wins the game about around 40% of the time. The rest of the games are ties. So with that information, it's hard for me to go away from the coin toss.
It's almost quite literally a coin flip.
Right. So I've come around on this. I was upset about it. I was upset about it again in that first game against the Patriots. Everybody was, because it doesn't. And yes, it would have been fun to see Patrick Mahomes come into the game and play. But here's the problem. It's not just about the outcomes of the games. It's also about not getting players hurt. When players are tired, they're more likely to get hurt.
Right.
The NFLPA is never going to go along with a full quarter overtime because it would just increase the probability of injuries. These guys would get worn out by playing an extra quarter of a football game. I was all about just putting in another quarter. But now that I've been on the other side of it and I know what the percentages are, which I didn't know the last time that this conversation came up within Chiefs Kingdom, I'm not sure that I would change it. I'm not sure that I would.
They changed it to 10 minutes, and we've seen more ties because of that.
Right. Correct.
And it is because of injuries. What I would say with the 10 minutes, and this would be my counter argument, is that they're usually getting to close to the end of that anyway. I mean, the win sometimes comes and there's 2 minutes left, or we'll see the clock get all the way down. I think I would like to see a full 10-minute quarter, let them play it out. And if that 10-minute quarter ends, then it becomes sudden death to me. And there's strategy that could go into that. Like, say one team gets a field goal and then all of a sudden you have the ball and you're able to drain this bonus quarter and get to the sudden death, right? Like then there's different ways to like kind of go about it. But I think playing the one quarter and just having that and that way odds are the other team is going to see the possession and then, it gives them an opportunity. Then I think, I don't know, to me, I just feel, I would feel better about the win, and I would have felt better about the loss 4 years ago had the Chiefs touched the football. Well, I think a lot of folks would have. So
yeah, of course.
But I still don't think it takes anything away from the Chiefs win, and I know Buffalo fans would disagree because they had an opportunity. I mean, Josh Allen put it on a platter for the defense, and they completely blew it. So
right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's quite as extreme a situation as we saw. Well, I guess you could argue it either way, I suppose. But, you know, the Chiefs could have stopped the Patriots in overtime in 2018, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. And the Bills could have stopped the Chiefs, you know, with 13 seconds. But, how hard is that?
Here's the deal with that Chiefs team, and here's the reality of it. And maybe we didn't want to accept this 4 years ago. The Chiefs had an opportunity to win the game, and one of their players, and you may have written him off or whatever, was on the team at the time, Dee Ford. And so they blew it themselves. They blew that themselves. They let it get to overtime.
And it wasn't the only thing. There was an overthrown pass earlier in the game to one of the running backs that, you know, there were other places the Chiefs could have won the game too. It wasn't just about Dee Ford.
Trivia question, John, who scored the touchdown in overtime? Do you remember?
No, I've blocked all of that out.
Houston Texans legend Rex Burkhead, I believe. That was the one who got it. Which is a weird player to score the touchdown. Okay, enough. Well, enough talking about that game. All right. Patrick Mahomes has a new nickname, the Grim Reaper. How do you feel about the nickname, John, first of all?
It's a little weird to me, but I get why people like it. I just
Patrick Mahomes is going to kill the rest of the teams in the NFL. Just murder them. This game
out of that bit in the Monty Python's The Meaning of Life when the Grim Reaper comes to the dinner party.
You know what's getting lost in this? And this is just a bit for the Chiefs fans that listen to the editor show. So congratulations to you. This didn't happen. Adam Teich of ESPN asked Andy Reid when things are looking grim, you know, what happens or what, you know, how, what does Patrick Mahomes do? And Andy Reid responded to Adam and said, when things are going grim, I said, hey, you know, you go and be the Grim Reaper. That did not occur. It didn't occur. And it's just a quick answer to Adam, but it's become Chiefs legend, and that'll get lost with folks. But I think it's cool. Reminds me of the Undertaker of the WWF. And so, of course, I'm going to like it. They called him the Grim Reaper as well. But I was asking Andy Reid, this was actually my question from the press conference. I wanted to know about Patrick Mahomes' ultra competitiveness, and I thought he gave a pretty good answer.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a nice guy, right? We all know that. He's a good kid. You guys deal with him all the time. But down in there, he's gritty, man, and he wants to get after you every opportunity he has. And most of all, he wants to be great, and he wants people around him to be great. And he has the ability at that position to do that. And he's not, you know, he's not afraid to be coached. He's not afraid to study hard. He's not afraid to work out hard, you know, go the extra mile with diet, strength training, all those things. Flexibility, he goes and tries to do it the best he possibly can. And as a result, you get what you got there. And what we've seen, we've been spoiled with this now for the last few years. He's a pretty spectacular player. And, you know, we're lucky to have him right here in Kansas City. And so, you know, and to have that grit, I think that tells you a little bit about him. But that's something special.
So my favorite part of this quote, John, was he wants to be great and everyone around him to be great. And that to me was such a key to this game and so obvious in his leadership qualities.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, everybody's focused on these two quarterbacks in this game, but you also have to focus on the players who stepped up and made plays. And Davis for the Bills was one of those players. You know, here's a guy that has done hardly anything, and when he had an opportunity to make plays, he did. And when Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill had opportunities to make plays at the end of this game, they did. And it's so, you know, we focused on the quarterbacks, but other players stepped up in this game. Maybe they wouldn't have with a different quarterback, but they all played a big role in how this game came out.
It's always going to be about the quarterback because, you know, you sometimes think about Tom Brady, you know, what is Tom Brady without Rob Gronkowski and Bill Belichick? You know, what is a Patrick Mahomes without Andy Reid and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? And, it's still, you're always giving the quarterback the ultimate amount of credit. Right. And I think Patrick Mahomes would be a top 5 to 10 quarterback anywhere. I think he's a top 1 quarterback because he has that quality of being in sync with receivers, and he has the blessing of Andy Reid. If Patrick Mahomes goes to Buffalo and there's no trade, are we really certain that he's the clear-cut best quarterback in the league? I don't know about that. I really don't. And so I think it is a more of a team game than we sometimes let on.
I've never bought into that idea that if Dan Marino had been drafted by any other team, that he would have been just as effective. I've never bought into that. And I don't agree that Patrick Mahomes would be the same quarterback if he'd played for any other NFL team. I just can't believe that. I think that he landed in exactly the right place. I think Dan Marino landed in exactly the right place. For all we know, Todd Blackledge could have been really good playing for another team. I mean, you know, you can take it the other way. So, yes, now, that matters. That matters.
Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco. I don't know about those guys. All right. Next Andy Reid point. I want to get to his comments on the Cincinnati Bengals. This was interesting to me first, and really he made a point that the Chiefs are kind of behind when it comes to the Bengals. Interesting point here.
I mean, since last night we were moving on to Cincinnati. I mean, it's just, you know, there's no time to wait on that. And they had an extra day there to kind of take a look at whatever two teams they thought they were going to play. And so it was important that we got on it and make sure we have all the bases covered. So that's where we're deep into it right now, Seren. So Cincinnati.
Yeah. So the Bengals actually had a day advantage. And you know, Andy Reid is thinking about that because had Andy Reid played on Saturday, he would have had half the coaching staff on one team and the other half on the other so that they had some kind of advantage by the time that Titans and Bengals game ended. The week 17 game between these two teams featured Joe Burrow, and he threw for more than 440 yards and 4 touchdowns in the win. Here was Reid on some of the problems that happened in that game.
They made big plays on us, and both sides of the ball, where they were able to slow us down and then pick it up on their offensive side. And so, you know, we've got to do a better job all the way around. Special teams included. We every phase can be better. They beat us. I mean, it wasn't a fluke. I mean, they beat us. And so they're a good football team. And it's important that we have a great week of preparation here. And that's one reason why the urgency level was there even yesterday, once the game was over, to get busy.
Key for me there is, John, he said it wasn't a fluke. And I think that's important to remember and really to preach to your team immediately that we need to take the Bengals seriously. As great as this game was, as great as the Buffalo Bills are, Bills to me are a better team than the Bengals. Doesn't mean you could overlook the Bengals because they do have the quarterback. They do have the receiver. The defense played especially well in that game. And so I appreciate Reid getting even out there. Hey, this wasn't a fluke. This team can hang with us.
Right. I would have put it as it wasn't entirely a fluke, which is kind of the way I put it a little while ago when we were talking, when we touched on this before, is that I don't think that game necessarily plays out that way every time. But it's fair to say that they played a big role in winning that game. It's not like they wouldn't have won it without the other things that happened. So I would go with it wasn't entirely a fluke now that I've had a chance to reflect on it.
Well, the thing that wasn't a fluke was the performance of Ja'Marr Chase. He had 266 yards and 3 touchdowns. Here was Reid on Chase.
Yeah, so he's a good receiver. He knows how to set up routes, especially for a young guy. And then he's strong when he gets the ball in his hands. He's got great core strength and lower body strength and quick feet to go with it. So he's a complete pack. He's one of those guys that isn't 6'4", but plays like he's 6'4". He's got a great range.
So there's ultimate respect in this. I think, like, just how we're criticizing the Buffalo Bills for allowing Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to do what they did, and especially Travis Kelce in that final play of regulation and Tyreek Hill on the last touchdown of regulation for Kansas City. You can't let Chase beat you again here. Now, I think he'll get his, But what would be reasonable is maybe like 4 or 5 catches for 80 yards. And I think if you do that, you got to feel pretty good about the Chiefs' chances. And I think good on them to have someone to zone in this game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that that's going to, I mean, how could it not be the Chiefs' plan to try and take Ja'Marr Chase out of this game? How could they not do that in this particular instance? But he could still have a big game, you know, because sometimes they just do. They have the advantage, and this guy really does seem to have figured out how to game the system when it comes to pass interference. Now, I would also expect that that the Chiefs will take care to say to the officials, you need to watch this. Mm. That's something that people don't think about, but the teams get an opportunity to meet with the officials before the game. And they will say to the officials, okay, we've looked on the film and we see that this guy holds quite a bit. Or we looked at the film and we said, this guy, you know, has a behind the back block pretty frequently, or this guy pushes off on as an offensive player on PI. So they'll probably bring that up to the officials. So we'll see.
Yeah. I think the big thing that came away from the game is as great as coverage that you can have on Chase, and Hill is like this in a lot of ways. He can't be single covered. He just can't be, because Travarius Ward was playing good coverage. So yeah. that zero yeah. blitz, third and long, don't do it. Don't yeah. do it. Joe knows.
Obviously yeah. mistake.
Yeah. yeah. Joe's as good at that blitz thing as Pat is. And, mm-hmm. and I think that became apparent for the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are better for lost that game going into this one. I don't think the Bengals are beating the Chiefs twice. That's just how I feel.
I agree.
All right. That's Andy Reid. If you want to hear his full press conference, it was 17 minutes yesterday. So we have it again on From the Podium, along with Harrison Butker and Mecole Hardman. Steve took care of that for us. So thank you to Steve. When we come back, we'll have our world famous marinated takeaways and the best Chiefs thing we've seen and heard all week. Stay with us. This is the Arrowhead Pride Editor's Show.
Well, I'm going to let this marinate.
You know, let that one marinate, and then we can circle back.
Adapt, react, readapt.
It takes time.
It takes years.
That's the takeaway.
Back here on the Arrowhead Pride Editor's Show, Pete Sweeney, John Dixon, coming off that Chiefs' major overtime win over the Buffalo Bills. I read an article this morning, John, from Yahoo Sports, and it was listening to Bills talk radio on Monday. It was not good. It was not good. This is a franchise in a city that is utterly crushed by this. They're similar to Kansas City in that sense. They're so into the football team, and they have never won a championship. So this one has really hurt them. Anyway, enough of poo-pooing on those Buffalo Bills. When we get to this game and the marinade takeaways, we talked about one for you earlier, John, when it comes to the overtime rules. What else you got for us?
Well, it's already been pointed out by our fine writers at arrowheadpride.com that Stephon Diggs was held to just 7 yards on 3 catches on Sunday. But I think this argument can be extended a little bit. In that first game against the Bills, Dawson Knox, the tight end, had 117 yards on 3 catches. Hmm. On Sunday, Knox had 2 catches for 9 yards. Okay, that's a big difference, too. Right. We have Emmanuel Sanders, who had 3 catches for 54 yards in the first matchup. On Sunday, he had 1 catch for 16 yards. Cole Beasley was held to almost nothing in the first game, but actually played pretty well. Got some production in this game, 6 catches for 60 yards. So the question becomes, how do you not cover Gabriel Davis, this guy who has basically been, you know, the fourth wide receiver for the Bills this year, the fourth or fifth, whatever it turns out to be? How do you not cover that guy? Well, here's the answer to that question. Because everybody else is covered.
You have to have Mike Hughes one-on-one with him.
Exactly. Right. Because everybody else, because Gabriel Davis was the only guy who was available because the Chiefs were covering the other guys so well, the guys that they knew could really hurt them. And so then the question becomes, well, then why don't you start covering Gabriel Davis that way? Well, because you can't leave Stephon Diggs alone. You can't leave Dawson Knox alone. You got to cover these guys or they're going to hurt you. You
never
know,
forget
they're
Dawson Knox catching that ball and Tyrann Mathieu just throwing those hands in the air, looking down the field, saying, Dan Sorensen, what are you doing? This marked the first divisional round in which Dan didn't have one of those major plays. And so my divisional Dan nickname really took a hit. And that hurts, I think, in this game.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen a Dan Sorensen play. Maybe he's saving it for the AFC title.
But I think this is an important piece of perspective we need to have on how the secondary played in Sunday night's game. They did what they needed to do is they took those other players out, and credit to Josh Allen here for going ahead and taking a chance on throwing passes to Gabriel Davis. Cause you know, not every quarterback would do that. They'd try and fit in a throw to Stephon Diggs or Dawson Knox, you know, or Emmanuel Sanders rather than go to Davis. Credit to Josh Allen for recognizing the guy could make the plays and continuing to do that. So that comes down to, again, having a really good quarterback playing on the other team. And we're all in agreement that he did. But I think it's important for us to recognize what the secondary really did and didn't do on Sunday. And one of the things they did was take away all of their playmakers.
Yeah, it's still, I think, a Tyrann Mathieu and Fenton thing a little bit because you trust those guys more one-on-one. Sure. And I think it spills into, like, okay, so now Tyrann Mathieu becomes your slot guy, and then you can have Thornhill back there, and maybe those, you know, maybe it does make a difference.
Totally fair.
Games are going to go how they go. We'll never know what happens if Tyrann Mathieu plays in this game, but 42-36 overtime win for the Chiefs. So I know this has become a topic, and this is my first one where Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce in the play of the game, in my opinion, where Travis Kelce gets Butker into field goal range on the 25-yard reception. It's been widely talked about. I know they talked about it on Out of Structure about how Travis Kelce was freelancing a bit, talked with Mahomes prior to the snap. Mahomes saw something and saw the similar type of coverage and basically during his cadence told Kelce to do it, looked off the safety and gave him the perfect window to just find the route and or the ad-libbed route and get that field goal range and the first down. So what I'll just try to add to some of it and you know, from my experience. So in the past, when we've talked to Andy Reid and it's always a topic of Patrick Mahomes development, and this is more of like off-season conversations. He's always like, look, I give Patrick Mahomes the tools. We design the plays. We rep the plays. But when it really comes down to it, he has the keys. And those keys, the keys to the car essentially means he can audible at the line. He could switch into, you know, what's hot. He can do things like this with Travis Kelce. And I think by extension, Andy Reid gives Kelce the keys. Kelce went up to Mahomes and said, I'm basically just going to run to where it's open.
Yeah.
That's like me in the backyard. That's not, you know, and for Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and that team to have the trust in them to be like, okay, you have the freedom to do this. I just think it was like a slight glimpse into maybe what happens quite a bit. And this is maybe the first time it really, I think, came to light. And we just kind of noticed. Does Travis Kelce notice things on a regular basis? And he's just like, yo, Pat, I'm going to this spot, man.
Yeah.
And you can just find me. And then I think back to previous playoffs, and these playoffs are starting to run through in my mind. So I can't even name the exact game it was, but maybe the Texans, I don't know. But where they have this throw and they go to NFL films and it's like, how did you know I'm going to be there? And Patrick is like, oh, I just knew, I just thought in my mind you'd be there. And they're like, whoa. And they like have this like stepbrothers moment. And I'm just like, maybe this is the key, man. Maybe they're just so in sync with each other that this is why Travis Kelce is able to put up these numbers. Because how do you prepare if you're a defender? How do you prepare for a route that's not on tape? Because he's making it up. He's making it up.
You can't, but you can. And now they know to be listening to what Mahomes says in the snap.
No more do it, Kelce. You're gonna it do.
Or he might say, you know, do it, Marcus. You know,
it's nay on the do it, nay, Kelce. Anyway, I just think that's fascinating. I know it's been talked about quite a bit, so I had to add to it. I know we used one of yours earlier, John. I'm going to guess here. Do you have one on Butker?
No.
If you're gonna be upset
about Butker, I got nothing I can say to you. I really don't.
I just figured your marinated takeaway would be on the ice in his veins and the kick. You're the special teams guy of this podcast for sure.
Yeah. This is old news though.
Okay.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, if you really want to talk about special teams, I think that punt where they had two punt returners on the field is interesting to think about. They messed that up. I don't know what they had in mind. I noticed it when they were lining up for it. I'm like, oh my gosh, they got Hardman and Hill back there. What are they going to do? Mm. And I don't know if the Bills messed that up by kicking to the left, which they did on that play.
Right.
It might be that if they'd kicked it down the middle, what we would have seen is, one of those guys throwing a pass to the other guy, or I guess it'd be a lateral. I don't know what they had in mind, but somehow it didn't play out. And of course the play did not go. That's the one where the ball ended up on the 1 yard line, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. So I don't know what they were doing there. They had something going. They didn't put those two punt returners back there for no reason. So we'll just have to see if they try that again, whatever it was.
Yeah. I have a quick point on that and then I'll get to my other things quick here. Cause we're trying to push along. Tyreek Hill is a punt returner and a returner. It's such an advantage that I almost think the Chiefs need to consider it regularly. And I know there's a risk involved in it. And I understand that part of it, mm-hmm. but just being in the punter's mind. So, I mean, either way, you're going to kick it to Hill and he's the best returner in history. I mean, you could clearly see it. You can clearly mm-hmm. see it. So you're either kicking to the best returner in NFL history or would be if he was getting the opportunities, or you're just like, well, we need to kick this out of bounds. We've seen when punters get under that pressure. So you're getting maybe a shake, like maybe the punter punts it perfectly. It's rare when he has to place it perfectly, like the coffin mm-hmm. corner, for example. Mm-hmm. So you're probably getting short field every time. And I just wonder, and you're up from the podium later, because I'm asking Dave Tobe this. So hopefully Dave is prepared by listening to our editor show podcast here. But I'm definitely
going
to ask
Dave. Morning.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to ask this, Uncle Dave, on Thursday. Do you have to consider it at a certain point? You know, I just think it's such an advantage because if you're either starting with a short field or Tyreek gets to maybe give you a short field every time, wait, you have to at least consider that. And Dave, I think that Dave will tell me it's not up to me and do a sheepish smile and Brad will quickly move on. But it needs to be seen.
You make the point about it being risky, that you can't risk having Tyreek Hill back there and be exposed to snaps where people are going at him full tilt. And that's a fair point. But you also have to wonder how many times he would actually get an opportunity to catch the ball.
Yeah, that's what
right,
I mean.
Right. So you're making a good point there. I'm agreeing with you. That is an interesting point. That maybe that risk is eliminated by the fact that they wouldn't even try and kick to him. I think that's I think that's a fair point. Yeah.
And last one for me, and this is dual. Enough with Patrick Mahomes as not the best quarterback in the league. I think there are quarterbacks who can play with him, and I'm not saying he's going to win every game for the rest of history. I think there'll be struggles, and the Chiefs will lose football games. That happens to everybody. It's any given Sunday. The throws that he was making, and specifically the one to me that was a nice reminder because we sometimes forget that we're watching just unreal play, was the sidearm that wrapped around the defender. This isn't the first time he's done that type of throw. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like it almost like a knuckleballer or a stinker thrower in baseball, if you're a baseball fan, where there was like an extra spin. There's a movie out there where they shoot the bullets and somehow they curve the bullets. It's like a sci-fi thing. That's his arm. It's crazy. It is a crazy thing to watch. Nobody can do those types of throws. And so Josh Allen played the best game of his career, one of the best quarterback performances ever, and he came up short because he was playing the best quarterback or one of the best quarterbacks ever. Now, again, those quarterbacks in the league that can play with him, but just this idea that he is not the best has to stop. And then I also think, and this is becoming obvious to me as you're seeing some juice with the Bengals, I think the Chiefs are getting some of this national fatigue we were wondering when this was really going to click in. I thought you saw a little bit last year, but I think playing the Tom Brady Bucks helped. I think that a lot of people were like, we don't necessarily want to see Tom Brady win one. But you'll be either, you know, facing a 49ers team and a Jimmy G. You're facing Burrow now. You know, you might be facing Matt Stafford, who's never won before. Man, you are starting to really enter the villain territory. And I don't think it's a good villain, because I don't think it's for being rude or anything, or you know, almost like Belichick, where he's not really all that nice to me. It's just for being good. And I think that it's a cool part of being a Chiefs fan, because you played this team so many times during the last couple of lifetimes, really, you know, and now you're that team. And what a time to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
It really is. I'll make one more point about your Mahomes versus the world thing. Allen actually had a superior stat line to Patrick on Sunday. I mean, I always tend to look at the passer rating first. It's a very flawed stat, but it puts everything together. You know, the interceptions, the touchdown passes, the completion, you know, so it's got use in that sense. But
more to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.